in Navadip Tam Parikrama Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mahat Ki Jai, Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, so Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, so Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. We've always heard Mahaprabhu saying, Prithivite ache jata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. That his name would be chanted every town and village in the world. But which name? When he says moranam, does he mean Krishna nam or Gauranga nam? Which nam? Or both? Or so although ostensibly it's known, of course, as, you know, Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement, within that, even within Krishna consciousness movement, is Krishna Chaitanya movement. What is the movement of Krishna Chaitanya? As the Guru Maharaj says, Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara Nagarabhara Nityam Nijer Namabhi, quoting Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, saying he is chanting and dancing, singing his own name. But he's not singing Gauranga. Krishna, he's singing Krishna Nam. So it's a peculiar thing. And Guru Maharaj is always giving the perfect example how to understand this. If we say, quite simply, that Krishna is sweetness personified, right? Condensed, concentrated sweetness personified. But he sees that, and everyone is mad after sweetness, right? Like in this world. And it occurs to him, what is it like to be on the other side, relishing that sweetness? Right? But from his position of Krishna, that is not possible. It's only theoretically possible. He can contemplate that. But if he would take the position of his beloved, because he not only he wants to experience the position of a devotee, what it's like to have devotion, how a devotee relishes hearing about Krishna, singing the name of Krishna, but the most intense sort of devotion, the kind of devotion that we're told is only possessed by Srimati Radharani herself. In one sense, all devotion is an extension of her devotional heart. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, referring to Swarup Damodar in his notes, because Kaviraj Goswami say, if anyone knows anything substantially about Mahaprabhu, they must have heard it from Swarup Damodar. Right? That's a simple expression, but profound. So with implied also through inversion is that if someone's saying something that is contrary to what has been expressed by Swarup Damodar, we dismiss it out of hand. So that's Swarup Damodar saying, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayeva. It's very beautiful. Sri Radhaya Pranaya, the kind of love that Radharani has, that she alone possesses, that he wants to experience. Right? Svadhyo yenadbhuta madhur. And what she is relishing, he wants to taste that. And tadbhavadya, her heart, her ecstatic emotions, he wants to experience those things. Just that alone, how sweet and beautiful is that? You don't hear this in any other theistic conception, giving you the confidential, candid, private thoughts of divinity, right? It's always, God is there and all the people are worshiping, and that's a good thing. That's good for them. Right? That's what we can do. It's good for us. But what about him? Everyone's saying, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you descend and you're in innumerable avatars and incarnations to reclaim the fallen souls who've turned away for you and are voyeuristically envisioning themselves as the lords of their skull-sized kingdoms, to put a few things together. Right? Because that's what it is. We're envisioning ourselves as lords of our skull-sized kingdoms. Right? And turned away from sweetness personified, beauty personified, love personified. It's a type of mania or madness, for sure. So, Krishna, he's being praised by Ananta Shesh and before the beginning of time, because space-time has its own parameters. So before that, we're told, and has not exhausted his glories, glorifying him incessantly. And that is all true and wonderful. Right? Sambhavami juge juge, how he appears age after age. It's so beautiful, so kind, coming in many different forms to charm us, to capture our attention, that will redirect ourselves toward the Lord of Love. But what about him, with his side? That we don't hear except really in Chaitanya Lila. Some hints are given in different places, but fully expressed, not only in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but fully expressed in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. And there, in a brief section, Kaviraj Goswami expresses so many wonderful things. And in first person from Krishna, Krishna is saying how everyone is enchanted with me, either directly or indirectly. We heard that in the Bhagavatam. Really, everyone in the world, the whole animation, every living being is either directly searching for Krishna or indirectly searching. Indirectly, they're giving it so many other names, entertaining so many substitutes. But really, it's either directly or indirectly the search for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful sweetness personified. But that Krishna says, and it's interesting, he's not even talking about really conditioned souls per se, but liberated souls, and saying, if they are overwhelmed by my majestic aspect, because after all, we're dealing with the infinite, right? The majestic aspect of divinity, which is most often portrayed or analogous to like the position of a king, right? He's saying that's good for the subjects in that sense. But what about his position? We know a king does not sit on a throne 24 hours a day, right? And wear the crown and hold the scepter like, you know, if you go sneak in late at night, he's still there on the throne, got the crown and the scepter. No. At a certain point, he gets off the throne and goes, takes off the crown, puts down the scepter. That we want to know. What is the private life of divinity? Where there's not only the king, but queen, prince, princesses, their private plan. And we find most often, even in this world, those who are monarchs, they always have some beautiful garden they keep. When that's what they find enchanting. It's not the throne and the jewels and the crown and all that, but rather they have some beautiful garden with flowers and ponds, streams, and beautiful birds and swans and things like that. Very much like the what we hear is the environment of Vrindavan. So Krishna says, if one is overwhelmed by my majestic aspect, I'm a little disappointed. Because that being overwhelmed, that prevents the heart from its natural flow of love and affection, because it would seem inappropriate on account of a lack of intimacy. And then he gives some examples, right, to help us understand more clearly. And he says, like in Vrindavan, the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna, the human-like pastimes of the Lord. Krishna Raja Teka Kela Sarvatam Naralila Narabhaputara Swarup Gopavesh Benukar Navakishor Narabar Naralila Hoya Narup. He's saying, in Vrindavan, I'm playing with my friends. And those friends, sometimes in our play, there's, you know, the victor and the defeated. And he's going immediately to show us something. He's saying, and those who are defeated, what do they have to do? They have to carry the victors on their shoulders. Right. So, right, what we normally understand in the pastimes of the Lord, of Vaikuntha, Krishna of Dwarka, riding on the shoulders of Garuda. Garuda's on the Thai money, right? If you look on the Thai money, there's a picture of Garuda, the eagle-like carrier of Vishnu, and Dwarka Krishna. And we know how wonderful that is, how ecstatic that is for Garuda to it, and what a unique position to achieve, to be the personal carrier of the Lord. But here, an inversion has taken place, where Krishna is saying, when I'm defeated by my devotee, because what is devotion but the defeat of the infinite by the finite, the defeat of the Lord by the devotee, that's where devotion begins in earnest. Right? Not the reverential prayers and hymns and that, which is all good, but devotion proper begins when the Lord comes under the control of the finite, when the infinite is defeated by the finite. This is something William Blake did not consider, but I'm sure would appreciate. The infinite being defeated by the finite. How? What a sweet and wonderful thing. The impossible of impossible things. How is it achieved? Through heart. Right? Through heart, love, affection, the infinite is brought under the control of the finite, defeated, as it were, by the finite. Rupa Goswami tells us, Sri Krishna Karshinichasa, when he's listing the characteristics of pure devotion, at last he's saying, it's that which Krishna is all attractive, his very name indicates that, Krishna Akarshan. But that Krishna, Sri Krishna Karshinichasa, he's attracted to devotion. And devotion is another name for love, affection. It's not that there's love and affection and then there's this thing, you know, it's a different thing. Actually, real love is devotion. Krishna bhakti, Krishna prem. And that's what attracts Krishna and brings him under the control of the finite. So much so that he's defeated by the devotee. And what is the consequence of that defeat? That the losers have to carry the victors on their shoulders. So he's saying, you might be familiar with me riding on the shoulders of Garuda. I'm going to let you in on something private, personal. Is that how I feel, how ecstatic I feel when a devotee is riding on my shoulders. You can't imagine how wonderful I feel with a devotee riding on my shoulders. Right. So we think, that's interesting. The tables have turned through inversion. Now we're getting some insight into how Krishna feels. So that's why he's saying, if by being overwhelmed by my majestic aspect, that type of intimate flow of love and affection from the heart is blocked. Oh, such a valuable thing for me that I consider a treasure is, it's a shame. I'm disappointed. It's good for you, but a little disappointing to me. But then he goes further, because we can understand, well then, mother chastising the son, that is sweet to him. But he jumps further and says about his beloved Srimati Radharani, the better half of the sweet absolute. And he's saying, when she chastises me in our love affairs, in our loving exchange, sometimes for a reason, sometimes for no reason. Sometimes for no reason at all. It's just the mysterious play of loving affairs. Right? To take offense for no reason. Right? Saying, but when she chastises me, he said, I can't concentrate on the reverential hymns of the Vedas that are saying, you're so great, you've descended in this world in your innumerable incarnations to save the fallen souls. Saying, I can't hear that when she's, and what is she saying? What superficially are not, is not praise. She's chastising him. She's saying terrible things to Krishna. And he's saying, oh, that is so sweet to my ear. She's transcended all of this awe and reverence and sees me as a person. And not only as her beloved, but in certain circumstances, she's chastising me. And that you can't believe, that is unbelievably sweet to my ear. So it occurs to Krishna, who's very observant, being omniscient, he's very observant, that he sees in their loving exchange that he's astonished to see how she acts and what is visible in her. And it occurs to him, he thinks, although I am ecstasy personified, rasa personified, I think that what she's experiencing, as far as I can estimate, I don't think I can properly estimate it, although I'm omniscient. I think that what she's experiencing is 10 million times greater than what I'm experiencing. That's quite a conjecture on his part. 10 million times greater than what I'm experiencing. But as Krishna, I can't experience that. I can only conjecture. Why? Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. He's the original male, the original enjoyer. So that's not his position. He's the supreme positive, but she's the supreme negative. And drawing this irresistible attraction from him to her by her self-giving, self-sacrificing nature, which is not his modus operandi. So he's thinking, then the only way I could experience what she's experiencing is to become her, or to become like her. And what would that be? What is the essence of any person? Really, what is their core identity, their core consciousness, their heart? Right? So Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, it said, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends in this world. And as his public service, he's delaying, even then he's delaying his own personal reason for descent, which is to relish her position. And particularly the zenith point of her position, which is achieved in separation. When the heart, when the maximum amount of love and affection, of pressure is put upon love and affection, that is in separation. That, as Gurudev said, is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter. But even that, he's delaying as far as he can by doing his public service. What is that? Bahiranga Sanghe Kori Nama Sankirtan. By giving Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan to everyone. And he's also relishing that. Oh, it's so delightful to take the name of Krishna. It makes one want to dance. As Guru Maharaj said in his Premadama Stotram, which interestingly, Gurudev said, first Guru Maharaj wrote like 5 verses. So Gurudev thought, oh, it'll be a panchakam. We'll publish it in the Gaudiya Darshan. Then he wrote like 3 more. Gurudev said, oh, it'll be an astakam. We'll, you know. And then he wrote a couple more. Oh, dasakam, 10, dvadasakam, 12. But Guru Maharaj kept going. And then Gurudev thought, oh, something else is going, some other type of flow is coming here. Finally, what was it? 70 so verses, right? Encapsulating the entire Chaitanya Charitamritam. But Guru Maharaj always liked to make the point of the ending. There's so many wonderful things there. But the ending, he said, in various ways, and the way he told it to me one day was sitting in his chair on his veranda, and I came, sat at his lotus feet, and he just turned to me and he said, I say the ultimate reality must be dancing. What do you say? As if I was going to say something different. But I hadn't thought about it like that. I'd never heard it put that way. The ultimate reality must be dancing. And so, and Guru Maharaj was happy to see that it made me think. He liked to make us think in original ways. So I started thinking about that. And Guru Maharaj was like happy, tapping his chair. He said, yes, the ultimate reality must be dancing. And I'll explain to you why. I've given this in the Premadama Deva Stotram. Atma lila, Sarva Lila Purna, lokya, Purna Sokya Lakshanam. Purna Sokya Lakshanam means will be the symptom or the identifying characteristic or trait of the ultimate reality, Purna Sokya, full happiness. So he's saying, when and why it means Mahaprabhu, not only that the ultimate reality is dancing, but that it must indicate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because he is taking the name of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, right? And so much ecstatic joy is coming to him that he cannot contain that. And it's forcibly expressing itself in ecstasy. Original meaning of the word ecstasy is like outside yourself. So it's consistent with that. So he cannot contain the ecstatic joy that he is feeling from taking the name of Krishna in the mood of Radharani. We must always remember that. The way she takes Krishna Nam. As Guru Maharaj said in one place, what is the voltage of the Krishna Nam of Srimati Radharani? Like here we have Jyoti Sundar dealing with voltage, right? And actually only he should deal with voltage. I hope everybody knows that. So when it comes to some situation where we go, especially high voltage, we go to Jyoti Sundar. And then he's the specialist in high voltage and he comes out and makes a determination. So if we take it that Sevan Mukhe Ijavaru, taking the holy name with the spirit of devotion, and compare that to some sort of voltage, it's a very good example. So we can think, oh, different devotees, different levels of, you know, loving and affection, voltage and that. But to fast forward, Guru Maharaj is saying, what is the voltage in the Krishna Nam of Srimati Radharani? That's inconceivable. But with that voltage of Krishna Nam, Mahaprabhu is taking the name of Krishna. And he's unable to contain the joy that it's producing. As Guru Maharaj said in another explanation, the cause is the effect is the cause. It's circular in this way. The cause is taking Krishna Nam, and what is the effect? Taking Krishna Nam. But how taking Krishna Nam? He cannot contain the joy. It's expressed in ecstatic dance. and the singing of Krishna Nam. So in that way, he's distributing to others and capturing so many fallen souls with the beauty of his Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Right? And as Guru Maharaj said, that is his public service to everyone. So in all the songs that we sing, always mentioning that he's descended with his brother, the Avadhut, Nityananda, and Nitai and Gauranga. They're always taking Krishna Nam, singing and dancing, and thereby distributing to others and increasing their party. So that's why Guru Maharaj said, the ultimate reality must be dancing, and the ultimate reality must be Mahaprabhu, because of all his singing and dancing as the outcome of relishing Krishna Nam, Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritasvadhanam Sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. How beautiful is that? The first verse of the Shikshastakam. And Guru Maharaj has expressed it so beautifully in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So once Allen Ginsberg said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada liked Allen Ginsberg, the poet. Allen Ginsberg liked Prabhupada. That's kind of like how Krishna consciousness works. You like someone who is Krishna conscious, and they like you. Like when you say 1,000 things, no, you got to do this and make sure you leave your shoes, but you know, like. You know. But actually, if you like someone who's Krishna conscious and they like you, it's going to end well. That's what I have to say. And no one knew that better than Srila Govinda Maharaj, who, when I would see different things at different times that would like make me roll my eyes or something, he'd say, Maharaj, all they have to do is like me, and they will get there. And I realized, oh, okay. And we see that, and saw that, and we continue to see that in many different ways. So Allen Ginsberg liked Prabhupada, Prabhupada liked Allen Ginsberg. Allen Ginsberg gave Prabhupada those harmoniums that you hear when Prabhupada sings those mystical versions of different songs that have no discernible melody prior to Prabhupada expressing them. Kuladri Prabhu reminded me of that recently, sending me one. Yet again, proof that Prabhupada singing in that way was just otherworldly, alaukik. Right? Allen Ginsberg, you know, he would think about different things and speculate his brains out and Prabhupada would just tolerate it. And he said, maybe Krishna's so merciful that in the Kali Yuga, the people are so fallen, he incarnated in the form of LSD. That's what he said. So you just like drop this tablet and then, you know, go loka. So, I don't even remember what Prabhupada said, but I know what Guru Maharaj said about it. He said clearly, no amount of finite can give the infinite. Right? Keep that in mind. No amount of finite can give the infinite. It's just some hallucination, whatever people are calling a divine experience, whatever they're based upon their projections of what they think is spiritual. Right? But I like to think about Guru Maharaj and different things that he says. So one thing he said is to like prove that it could be possible, but in another way that's acceptable to Krishna-loving people, I hope. That Guru Maharaj said, in the name of Krishna, Krishna, right, as Krishneti Varna Dvayi, as Rupa Goswami said, these two syllables. So sometimes Guru Maharaj say, appears to be finite. Here, you don't even have to drop a tablet or something else. Right? just vibrate, Krishna. How merciful is that? Right? Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In the Kali Yuga, the Lord descended in the form of His holy name. So Guru Maharaj said, the sum total of the infinite is appearing as if finite. Because we say, Krishna, it's just two syllables. Anyone can say, Krishna. Right? If you can say Krishna with love and affection, that is perfection. Right? But still, how merciful is He to come in this way, Krishna. Right? So, and sometimes we hear Mahaprabhu singing, Krishna, 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 hey. What's the next line? Krishna, 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 hey. I like that. And then He's doing other things, you know, Rama, Rama, what is it? Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. That's why they say, take Ramanam for protection, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. But a lot of Krishna, right? And Guru Maharaj has that in Prema Dhamma Stovastram. One of the first things I ever heard, Babaji Maharaj, when he sang that, what does he say? Yatra tatra, Krishna, 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 Nama, Dhanarana, Nishtanam, Prema Dhamma. But he said, Yatra tatra, Krishna, Nama, Danya, Dana, I forgot. But he also did a lot of Krishna, Krishna. So he's saying, just in this syllable, Krishna, He's appeared. And He's distributing that to everyone. And Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan, mentioned in the Shikshastakam, and Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. And Harir Nama means Krishna Nama. Kolo Nasteva, 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 Gatyaranyata. This is the way. Not with a drop of LSD on your tongue or some other fantasy. But in such a beautiful way, singing and taking the name of Krishna. And so when Mahaprabhu appears, as we'll hear when we sing the song, that the people are actually, they're celebrating something else. Which just shows you also how Krishna consciousness works. They think they're celebrating, they're chanting because of the appearance of the full moon and this, that, and the other thing, and maybe lunar eclipse, whatever is going on at the time. And that's the time they chant anything and everything, normally, right? Like Gurudev said about the one lady in Calcutta who is bowing down to all these stones. And they go, Didi, what are you doing? She said, one of them might be Shiva. You know, so she's trying, you know, like, she's not taking any chances. But so that's kind of the Hindu way. Right? So they chant all kinds of, but when this particular time comes, that's when they say, oh, it's good to chant Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. Just like Gurudev said, they chant so many things in their life, but when the death comes and they're doing the funeral part, at that time they take Krishna Nam. Right? Even though they've chanted so many other things throughout their life, then they shift to Krishna Nam. So they're chanting Hari, the name of Hari, and at this time, and with great joy, Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, they've been waiting. With restless, if ever there was restless anticipation, they were experiencing that, waiting for Mahaprabhu. But then they saw, this is the auspicious time as indicated, and He will appear. The Guru Varga has already set the stage, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Madhavendra Puri, whom we talked about, Paramananda Puri, all the greats, Nityananda Prabhu. They're all, Nityananda Prabhu is going mad waiting for Gauranga to appear. So he goes on parikrama. So many wonderful things are going on, and then finally the Lord appears at this time and begins His delightful childhood pastimes. what does it say? Advaita Charja and Sita Thakurani come from Shantipur. And there are some people saying, seeing that old man, Advaita Charja, giving his full Shastanga Dandavats to a baby, they're thinking, oh, this won't be good for the child. Because they're simple-hearted Aprakrita Gyanashunya Bhaktas. They're always concerned about Krishna's welfare. Or in this case, baby Nimai, Sita Thakurani gives him that name. Or is it Malini? Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini. Who names him Nimai? Sita Thakurani. Again, for his protection. Right? And it's very sweet how all these things come out. And he goes through his childhood pastimes, and he's playing like a naughty divinity throughout his childhood. And speaking of Gyanashunya Bhaktas, what do we hear? Jagannath Misra and Satri Matra, when they see the lotus footprints of the Lord, of Vishnu, apparently, in their house, they think it's some kind of lila of their shalagram. It's actually Nimai walking around or crawling. But they think, oh, we're so fortunate our shalagram is showing some sort of mysterious pastimes here. How sweet that is, the yogamayic, divine forgetfulness of the Aishwarya aspect of the Supreme Lord. But through his childhood pastime, then as a teacher, and you think, well, if he's the Supreme Lord, he would be like the highest level Sanskrit teacher. But no, it's a Prakriti Lila. So what is he? He teaches the basics to the students. That way he's hidden, he's concealed his position, but it comes out in the case of Keshava Kashmiri correcting this pundit to check his ego and reveal. He's gradually, in these early pastimes, he's showing his divinity in various ways. But the bhakta bhav, the devotional side, is yet to come out. And we hear Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani, in these pastimes, thinks, oh, this Nimai Pandit, he's so beautiful, so charming in every way. He has only one flaw. And what is that? He's not a devotee of Krishna. Which is kind of funny because he's not. He's Krishna. But he is yet to become a devotee of Krishna. And that will come out by the well wishes, of course, of the devotees. You can only become a devotee of Krishna by the well wishes and the mercy of the other devotees. So they all want that so badly for him. And he's gladly accepting that. That when he returns from Gaya, after performing his father's funeral ceremony, and gets initiation from his Gurudev, Ishwar Puri, he's now mad with Krishna Nam, and all the devotees are so happy, and the rumors are spreading, and they're true, that they're saying, have you heard what? Nimai Pandit's become a devotee of Krishna. No, that arrogant scholar, yes, him. He's now mad for Krishna. Oh, how wonderful. And it is wonderful, because Krishna is becoming a devotee of Krishna. That's just inconceivably sweet to consider. Because sometimes we might think like, oh, Krishna, he gets everything, you know. And we're like, we get to be the devotees. And you get a little prasad, a place to stay, and some seva. Prabhupada said that's all a devotee needs, is a little prasad, a place to stay, and some seva. And it's Krishna, Krishna. There's going to be a lot of Krishna, Krishna. But what he's showing is, it's not that we've been sold some false bill of goods, or like, and we're forever in this, secondary position. But we learn from Srila Guru Maharaj, Radharani, she's in the primary position, and she's the supreme devotee of Krishna. And no less than Krishna himself acknowledges that. So how wonderful is it that she's converted Krishna into a devotee, the ultimate conversion. Right? He wants to be a devotee. And gradually, by the grace of the devotees, he achieves that position. So, and we see that it's gradually this bhakta bhav, right? And playing in different ways. And every now and then, it's almost like a delirium when he's and is showing his divinity, as in the Mahaprakash case and Varaha, different. Sometimes that's surfacing, rising to the surface for some particular lilic reason. But gradually he's moving closer and closer, because once he enters the zone of Radha Bhav, he will be dysfunctional as the Yuga avatar. That will not be possible any longer. So, and what are we told? During the day, he tries to maintain his composure while in Puri and other places. But at the night, in Prabhupada's words, wild performances of divine madness and ecstasy. He's trying to contain that. But once he's given release by Advaita Acharya, it's enveloped in Radha Bhav 24 hours a day, incessantly for the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes in the company of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda. But it all begins in earnest with his Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Praya Janti Hi Sumedasa. That these two syllables, the infinite disguised as finite, Krishna, coming from his lips. And Srila Jiva Goswami tells us, Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram Darshitangari Vaibhavam, that internally he's Krishna and Bahir Gaura, externally he's taken this form, being enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. Shama Sundar Krishna has been transformed in Gauranga Sundar. Hare Krishna. So, this day, actually, in like maybe 1933, something like that, the devotees of Sri Gaudiya Math presented Srila Saraswati Thakur the book Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That's everything about the life of Mahaprabhu and his precepts, but extensively. Really compiled by Professor Nishikant Sanyal. Right? But on that day, on Gaur Purnima 1933, I can say. So, from 1982 and the 1983, the Guardian of Devotion Press, we are trying to present Jayananda Prabhu, the first book to Srila Guru Maharaj, Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful. And there was, there's a saying, like, nothing gets done unless there's a deadline. You know, Avadhut Maharaj invokes this often. So, our deadline was Gaur Purnima. So we wanted to present the book to Srila Guru Maharaj on Gaur Purnima. You know. But we'd never done this before, and we're learning on the job, so to speak, and doing our best and trying very hard, but we want to meet this deadline. And the book's going back and forth in the final stages, then it's being printed, and it's looking like maybe we're not going to make the deadline, but we can't say for sure. And that's kind of the way Krishna consciousness operates. You're anticipating something, but you can't say for sure that that's going to be the outcome. So we're just happy to be involved. Right? As Guru Maharaj said later, when I gave Golden Volcano, and he said he would go to Jagannath Puri and seeing the look of concern on my face, thinking he won't survive the journey, reading my mind, Guru Maharaj turned to me and he said, "And if I die on the way, at least I will have died going in the right direction." So that's what we want. To die going in the right direction. But as Guru Maharaj would say, I hear him saying, die to live. It's not regular type dying, but die to live. And the Hegelian sense that you give up the lower position to achieve the higher position. That's the way of anything progressive. Right? You move to the next level. And that means, in a sense, what was before died, to be blunt about it. Right? And you transition to this new stage. And that's an eternal process. So that's what we said, going in the right direction. So anyway, we're trying, and the book has to come from this one place on the East Coast, and Giri Maharaj arranged for that, sent to a place in Los Angeles, and we're flying from San Francisco to Los Angeles to go on Korean Airlines to India. And that means there's like an hour in LAX in Los Angeles to get this shipment of books. And we're running like crazy. There's something, you know, a way that they did that, non-FedEx, but even faster. And we go to the place, and I see, like, oh my God, there's this little box with like 13 books in it. And I think, now we've got the books. Can we make it to Navadvipa in time? So we get on the flight, everything. We get to Calcutta, and you know what it's like at this time? They're celebrating Holi, which means, you know, they're squirting colored water on everyone and throwing colors, and it's just, you know, madness. And we're in Calcutta, and an ISKCON bus pulls up. And they say, you know, like, Prabhu, get on, we're going to Mayapur. So we just like, okay. We get on the bus. And we get off in Mayapur, and they pull into the front gate. And I say, like, oh, we need to get off for a certain reason right now. Thank you so much. You know, and then we leave the bus and then go down and go down to the ghat. Have the boat, and they have the boatmen with the big bamboo pole still, you know, like, they put the bamboo pole in the Ganga and pull it out, and, you know, they're going across. And I thought this would be a good moment to bathe in the Ganga. We're also somewhat colored in colors at that time. So I just dove in, saw some dolphins, thought it was an auspicious sign. And while the boat's moving, then got back on the boat, and then we're going to the mat. Because if you see the picture, I have a gumsha hanging on my shoulder. But anyway, so we get there. It's Gaur Purnima. We're trying to make this deadline. It's the evening of Gaur Purnima. The moon has risen, and we're presenting the book to Srila Guru Maharaj. And at that moment, Guru Maharaj, he said, 50 years ago, to this moment, we presented the book Sri Krishna Chaitanya to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I take it that this is very significant, that 50 years later, to the moment, you're presenting this book, Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful. And even there, and I'll conclude with this, because I think it's time to begin singing, is that the book concludes with what Guru Maharaj says is the all-conquering conclusion. Atma lila sarva siddha purna loka purna sokya lakshanam. That the Supreme Reality is dancing in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking Krishna Nam, relishing the sweetness himself, and going mad in ecstasy as an outcome, and thereby distributing Krishna Nam to everyone else. So on this day, I just watched the film. I wanted to film Srila Guru Maharaj on Gaur Purnima. and had it all set up. It's just one of those things. And there's a special light they used to have in India where you pump this lamp and it has some kind of like what they call a silk bag in it, and it gives a very bright light. And I thought that would be good for the recording. And right as the time comes, it like blows out. So that means the recording's very grainy. But what you can see is Srila Gurudev, Srila Govindamaya singing, beginning with Emana Durmati Sangsara Bitore, the song. You know, that Gurumayur's liked him to sing first. I'm, you know, lost, and my mind got me in the mess I'm in at present. And then you sent, you know, the Vaishnava Guru to save me and give me the message that Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are conducting many souls like yourself from this world to the divine world. So you can hear Gurudev at the end singing that, and then they start singing the songs from the Chaitanya Charitamritam. And at the point where it says, Jagad Bari, and then the universe resounded with the sound of Jai, Hari Hari Dwani Jai, going Hari Hari Bol. Saying, at that time, Mahaprabhu appears, and Guru Maharaj starts to dance. And he's holding his lati, his stick, but he's waving and he's dancing and saying, Gaur Hari Bol. And he's almost 90. And he is jumping off the ground, and Gurudev, you can see, is like ready to catch him in case he can't steady himself. Gurudev looks a little worried. But Gurudev is just throwing all caution in the wind. He's just singing and dancing, and it's so beautiful. It's still there, and maybe it was meant to be in a very grainy, mysterious way, as opposed to something very clear and easy to see. But so, it's the tradition of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, under the guidance of Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, to sing these verses from the Chaitanya Charitamritam. And you know which part it is in the book? No, the page. Okay.
Chodas, Sata, Sata, Sake, Mata, Ye Palgun.